You'll turn with me this morning, if you would, over to Romans 1, verse 16. I'm going to tell you, and I hope I don't embarrass him when I say this, but this thought came to me from something that somebody said after we had a lesson out of Romans not long ago. Brother Kenny came up to me, it might have been a Sunday night or something sometime, and he said, "Have you ever just really thought about the power of God?" He said, "Just think about that power." He said, "You used to talk about dynamo and dynamite." And I went back and referenced that to a message that Brother John had preached on one time about how powerful that is and that dynamite. And when they, back in the day, or I guess for us now, you know, that's something we think of powerful. It's explosive in nature. Brother Kenny, we stand back here at the back of the church, and he said, "Just think about that." He said, "How powerful it is," and you guys may be able to get your head around it, but Brother Kenny and I couldn't, and I don't say anybody in the flesh can. What I mean by the flesh in our bodies can, or our minds, or minds now, can get our head around this, is that it's so powerful, the Word of God is, that it became flesh. And if you think about that, and we'll read here just in a second, I'll tell you what Brother Kenny and I were talking. In other words, it dwelt among us. Of course, that's our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. That was the Word. And so if you think about the Word, or think about how powerful the Word of God is, and it's hard to even, you know, you can't comprehend that really, how powerful the Word of God is and the power of God. Well, since he mentioned that night, that chewed on me that night and all week and week and week and then just day and day and day. So this morning, I'm going to go back and read that verse in Romans. But I thought what we'd do is we'd go through the scripture and we'd look at the power of God. And we'll look at each letter. We'll look at P. I wrote these down. We'll look at P as we go through, just for being perfect. Of course, the perfect will of God. And we'll look at O, and we'll omnipotent. Omnipotent. I always have trouble with that. And omnipresence. The W will be wow in power. E will be eternal, or everlasting, and R will be righteousness. And we'll look through the scripture, and I think what you'll find, if you'll look as we go through, as I did, that again, it is just, it's above remarkable or incredible. It's just a power of God, a power that we just, it's way beyond our way of thinking. You know, Jack Sturgill, Preacher Jack, used to say, if one thought got loose in your head from God, it'd blow the top of your head off. I remember he'd say that. And I remember that when I was studying, that come back to my mind, that what Preacher Jack was trying to tell us, that's the power of God. And so if we look here this morning, I'll go back to that. And so Brother Kenny's the one that really got me thinking. He said, "Have you ever thought about how powerful that is?" And I said, "You know, we say that, but no, not in that depth." So let me read this here to you, and we've got another place I'll read, and then we'll get right into the P and the O and W, and it was a blessing just studying that out, going to find places in Scripture. But before, let's get going, because I told Kim this morning, I said, I don't want to talk too much. I want to get into the Scripture, because I think it'll be, again, it was a blessing studying it. Hope it'll be a blessing to you. Verse number 16, Romans 1, "For I'm not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it is the power," there's that word we're going to be looking at, that's that dynamite, that dynamo, "of God unto salvation to everyone that believeth, to the Jew first and also to the Greek." Now, if you'll turn with me over to John chapter 1, you'll see, I think, what Brother Kenny, when he asked the question and he and I discussed it, I think you'll see where this goes back to. We talk about that dynamite and that dynamo. You know, it's something how God can tie all that together. That might have been 2 years ago John had that. It might have been a Wednesday night he preached that. Then Kenny asked that question. And it wasn't really a question. It was more of a thought. He didn't ask me, "Do you think it can be?" He was more or less, "Have you ever thought about this way?" And so, and we just had that lesson that day, talking about Paul and, going to Rome. So it's God puts all that together. So let's look here in John 1. I'll read 14 verses, but now as we go through the others, we won't have that much reading, but that way you can go back and reflect here on, "For it is the power of God unto salvation." So chapter 1, verse 1, "In the beginning was the Word." See, this goes back again to what Kenny was saying, the Word. So keep that in mind. And the Word was with God, and the Word was God. And the more I studied this out, I thought this is getting really way above anything you can comprehend as a man. To even think that God would be on our level. I know there's some religions today that teach after a certain time or certain things you do, you know, you can move up notches and get on the level with God. But as you read this, you see there's no way that could even be the case. So the same was in the beginning with God. All things were made by Him, and without Him was not anything made that was made. In Him was life, and the life was the light of men. And the light shineth in darkness, and the darkness comprehended not. There was a man sent from God whose name was John. The same came for a witness to bear witness of the light, that all men through him might believe. So see, we're talking about the Word, and we're talking about the light, the true light, the living Word, as we'll see. He was not that light, but was sent to bear witness of that light. That was the true light which lighteth every man that cometh into the world. He was in the world, and the world was made by him, and the world knew him not. He came into his own, and his own received him not. But as many as received him, to them gave he power to become the sons of God, even to them that believe on his name, which were born not of blood, nor of the will of the flesh, nor of the will of man, but of God. Verse number 14. And the Word was made flesh and dwelt among us. And we beheld his glory, the glory is of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth. Now that's power. Folks, I think Preacher Jack put it the best way. And again, I know I've said this already this morning, but just think about it. That one thought got loose in your head, it'd blow the top of your head off. There's no way, I can't comprehend that, to be that powerful. Just a spoken word, and you think about the Word here as it says, and if you go back and even you were to consider, Mr. Grizzle and I have talked about this before, even the law, let's say you look at the Old Testament. You go back and look at that, even that, you think about the Word that was given there, the commandments or the direction given, became flesh. I mean, that was Jesus Christ. That was the King of the Jews. Still is King of the Jews. But, I mean, at that time when he came, of course, they rejected him. Think how powerful that is. And we serve a Lord and Savior this morning that is that powerful. So you think about this as we go through here and we look. And keep that in mind, God's power this morning. We're going to look at P first, which is perfect or perfection. You can turn with me as we go to these, or you can stay where you're at and I'll read them out to you. But for perfection, or the perfect power that we have, if you'll turn over to Hebrews chapter 7, verse number, let's see here. We'll start at verse number 24. Hebrews chapter 7, verse number 24, and this is the P, this is the perfect power. So, but this man, because he continueth ever, hath an unchangeable priesthood. Now, see, what we're picking up is just what we've just read in John, and that's coming back from Romans. And then Hebrews 7 just really picks that up. But here we're going to talk about the priestly nature of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Here we're going to talk about a royal priesthood. Here we're going to talk about a priest. But it's not an earthly priest. Let me read this, continue to read on. I'm going to give everything away. So wherefore he is able also to save them to the uttermost that come unto God by him, seeing he ever liveth to make intercession for them. That's the power, again, of God. As you see here, seeing he ever liveth to make intercession for them. So if we look at verse number 26, we're going to look at what type of life do we have here when we talk about God's power. For such a high priest became us, who is holy, harmless, undefiled, separate from sinners, and made higher than the heavens. That's the life of Jesus Christ that he lived. So when we talk about perfect power and God's power, we only see in verse number 25 just his power again overall. But the life that he led for such a high priest became us. Again, talking about how the Word became flesh. Verse number 27, who needeth not daily as those high priests to offer up sacrifice, first for his own sins and then for the people's. In other words, he's comparing him to man. Man had to go in continually and offer up sacrifices to put them off their sins off for another year and another year. But the priest had to sacrifice for themselves as well before they could go in and offer sacrifices for the people. So verse number 27 looks at the sacrifices, and it says, for his own sins and then for the people's, for this he did once when he offered up himself. That's the power of God. So in these few verses, we've got the last one left here, I know 28, before we get there, verses 25, 26, and 27, again, as we look into the perfect power, we see God's power again in verse number 25. Verse number 26, we see the life that Christ would have lived, and he did, harmless, undefiled, separate from sinners, made higher than the heavens. He needeth not daily as those high priests offer up sacrifice, first for his own sins and then for the people's. For this he did once when he offered up himself. Verse number 28 is the appointment that he received. And again, this reflects God's power. For the law maketh men high priests. That's what we were talking before. Man made their high priest, or it was, it was passed down in generation and from dad to son, etc., depending on the tribe. So the law maketh men high priests which have infirmity, but the word of the oath which was since the law maketh the Son, God's power, who is consecrated forevermore. So his appointment is a divine appointment. It's from God, it's from his Father. And that reflects the perfect power of God and our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Now, if we go on and look at O as we move on, that's omnipotent or, omnipresence. We'll look at both just briefly. Got a few places here. I appreciate the old Webster's Dictionary because as you look that up, omnipotent, and look in the old Webster's, it'll give you the adjective, but by next to noun, it'll just have God with a capital G. That's it. If you look at the old way, it doesn't have any other, sometimes they'll have a semicolon and they'll have, the newer editions will say gods or worships or, figures which, man tends to put more emphasis on. I forget exactly how it all was read, but the old Webster's Dictionary, going back to the original version, just has God out next to it. And so as we look here this morning, that's what we think about as far as we talked about perfect power and talk about, omnipotent or omnipresence. In other words, God is everywhere. God is in control. As I look here at a few places, and you can stay where you're at because I'll just flip through these. And most of them I have written down already, but there's a few we'll turn to. Genesis 1:1, which you all know, in the beginning God created the heaven and the earth. That speaks for itself. Jeremiah 32:27 says, behold, I am the Lord, the God of all flesh. Is there anything too hard for me? Then Mark 10 is one place I was going to have us go look. And let me flip over here. If you want to turn there, you can. Mark 10, verse number 25. Of course, this is concerning the rich young ruler. It says, it's easier for a camel to go through the eye of a needle than for a rich man to enter into the kingdom of God. They were astonished out of measure, saying among themselves, who then can be saved? And you remember we're talking about the power of God this morning. That it's just difficult for us, or we can't comprehend. And Jesus, looking upon them, saith, with men it is impossible, but not with God. For with God all things are possible. So omnipotent, or the power of God. In other words, almighty was one of the adjectives that it would say for God. All-knowing, all-being. And as we look here, I'll flip over and you can stay where you're at. I think it's in Job. I had read and wrote this down. I didn't write it down, but I had read this. And I said, at some point I'll read this if the Lord has me to. And it comes back to my mind here, so I will. Job chapter 26, I believe it is. And see what he says, if I can find it. He stretcheth out the north over the empty place, and hangeth the earth upon nothing. This is God. He bindeth up the waters in his thick clouds, and the cloud is not rent under him. He holdeth back the face of his throne and spreadeth his cloud upon it. He hath compassed the waters with bounds, or edges, so to speak, until the day and night come to an end. The pillars of heaven tremble and are astonished at his reproof. He divideth the sea with his power, and by his understanding he smiteth through the proud. By his spirit he hath garnished the heavens. His hands hath formed the crooked serpent. Lo, these are parts of his ways, as Job says. In other words, these are merely the beginning, just the edge. In other words, Job is saying, I am just giving you just the bare bones, the bare minimum. Lo, these are parts of his ways, but how little a portion is heard of him. But the thunder of his power, who can understand? That's Job. He asked that question, the thunder of his power, who can understand? And that's what we're looking at this morning too, is the power of God. Who can understand it? When he goes through here, bindeth up the waters in thick clouds, holdeth back the face of his throne, compasseth the waters with bounds, pillars of heavens tremble. He divideth the sea with his power. By his spirit he hath garnished the heavens. Job gives us everything this morning that we can kind of comprehend and see. As you look in the heavens and the stars and the clouds and the sun goes up and down, the moon rises and we see it at night. And if you've ever been to the ocean, you can see the ocean's edge or the water's edge. You can see where the water is separate from the land. But still, Job ends by saying, but the thunder of his power, who can understand? And I was studying this, I forgot how I even ran across that. But I tell you, that's something now that I thought, well, I'll kind of keep that in my mind if the Lord brings that back to my remembrance this morning. It seems like I've just settled there just for a second to think about the power of an almighty God. And so we look just a few more places here as far as God's omnipresence, and you stay where you're at, and then we'll get down to the wow. And, I've got one place here over in Exodus I wanted to read you. Of course, I'm sure you know what it is. It's, of course, the children of Israel leaving Egypt. And, of course, they're being pursued. Got the Egyptians hot on their trail, and they're after them. And, of course, they're distraught, as sometimes we get, not knowing what's going on. And I always have to remember, as the children of Israel did, if I can find it here. And it came to pass when Pharaoh had let the people go, that God led them not through the way of the land of the Philistines, although that was near. For God said, lest peradventure the people repent when they see war and they return to Egypt. But God led the people about through the way of the wilderness of the Red Sea, and the children of Israel went up, harnessed out of the land of Egypt. And Moses took the bones of Joseph with him, for he had straightly sworn to the children of Israel, saying, God will surely visit you, and ye shall carry up my bones away hence with you. And they took their journey from Succoth and encamped in Etham in the edge of the wilderness. And see, sometimes, you know, you wonder, I've often thought, did everybody in the camp see what I'm getting ready to read? You know, because children of Israel, it's a large nation. Were they all able to look to the to the front, kind of toward the camp, and then to the back, and to see what I'm getting ready to read you? Because I think about that in our lives. Can we sometimes see that far ahead? We can't. Or can we see? We can see where God's brought us a lot of times. But a lot of times you may not know where you're going. But can you see that he's leading us? Let me show you. And the Lord went before them by day in a pillar of a cloud to lead them the way, and by night in a pillar of fire to give them light to go by day and night. He took not away the pillar of the cloud by day, never left them, nor the pillar of fire by night from before the people. You think about that. Omnipresent, everywhere, omnipotent, all-knowing, almighty, none above him. What does Isaiah say? Who's been his counselor? You know, I paraphrase a lot of times in Isaiah there, but I think about who gave him advice? Nobody. That's the power of God. And see, that's something that's really, for me it is, and that's when Kenny asked that day, I thought about that and I said, it is, to get a hold of that. And we only, as Job pointed out, can just barely brush the edges of the power of God from what we see. There's so much more to that. And let's continue on as we look. I'm going to go to W now because the kids kind of gave me the W. They don't know it, but they did. And the W is for wow. I mean, they didn't realize that they gave me the W, but they did. When we left Wednesday night, I'd been studying this, and we were driving down the road. Of course, you guys remember that storm Wednesday night. Boy, it was thunder and lightning, one of the worst storms I think I'd ever seen, especially in February. I'll say that's probably the worst storm I've ever seen in the winter. And we were traveling, and, of course, down the road, and it lightning. And Jessie looked over at me. She said, that was so bright, it lit up the inside of the car. And I said, that's right. And I thought about that for a second. I said, she was right. It lit up the inside of the car as if I turned the interior light on. And I said, but Jesse, think about this. I said, it was so quick, it lit up and was gone before you knew it. And I thought about that as when you're saved, how quickly that is. A man goes from lost to being saved, and they know it. You know it when you're saved, but think how quick that happened. You know, we want to say blinking of an, blink of an eye, or but think about how quick that lightning is. Or and I started to tell them about my Sunday school lesson that I was working on, and the Lord laid on my heart about the power of God. And then Maggie spoke up out of the back. She said, "Yeah." And she said, "That's just not flash of lightning." She said, "That's like streaks of lightning." And I repeated that to her. I said, "Yeah, and think, when you see it, and you just from your eyes to your brain, it's gone." And that's how powerful the Word of God is. So that's why I put, wow. It is. It's just wow. That's the only way you can describe it. And there's a few places in Scripture where people were wowed. They just couldn't get past it. And you've been wowed too, I'm sure. At some point in your Christian life, you've just had to sit back and say, wow. Like the day you were saved, you just had to say, wow. Or you've seen, I guess been in revivals. And several get saved or one get saved. And it's always a wow. Because that goes back to the power of an almighty God. Let me show you right here just a few places, and you can let's see here. We'll stay over here. Well, let me go back over here to John. Well, I tell you what, let me do Hebrews. I was thinking about this. It might save a little time, and not that we're real rushed for time. Let me check it. Yeah, we got a little bit, but Hebrews, I thought about as I was looking at this. I said, you know, it gives us a really good synopsis of what happened. Here it is. Let me get Hebrews 11. Stay where you're at, and then we'll look here. And Hebrews 11, verse number 29. These are some wows. And I've always, even when I was little and in Sunday school, I would think about, wow, that's a powerful God, the power of God. By faith they passed through the Red Sea, as by dry land, which the Egyptians, essaying to do, were drowned. That's wow. By faith, the walls of Jericho fell down after they were compassed about 7 days. And see, that goes back to what Job was saying. Who can know his ways? You think about that. Who would have thought? I'm sure they said, okay, you got to compass Jericho 7 times, and this is what you do, and you get the trumpets and all the instruments, and you blow those. But they followed it, followed what God said. And you know what? The walls fell down. By faith, the harlot Rahab perished not with them that believed not, when she had received the spies with peace. And I've often wondered, if you go back and read about that city, it's a pretty good size. And I know Rahab, she put a signal out for them so they know who she was, but you had a lot of men fighting. How'd you get word through everybody that, okay, there's one piece of linen here, you look for that, you save the ones that are in that house? You think about that. Some of you men been in battle, and how confusing it is, things going on. And I remember my granddaddy used to tell, not grandma, great uncle used to tell me about that. My granddad, but he passed on. But my great uncle used to tell me things get confusing, a lot of shooting going on, things going off, exploding, get separated. But not with Rahab. They found her right where she needed to be, took her in her house, took them out. Wow. By verse number 32, and what shall I say more? For the time would fail me to tell of Gideon, of Barak, of Samson, Jephthah, and of David also, and Samuel, and of the prophets, who through faith subdued kingdoms, wrought righteousness, obtained promises, stopped the mouths of lions, quenched the violence of fire, escaped the edge of the sword, out of weakness were made strong, waxed violent in fight, turned to flight the armies of the aliens. Wow, that's an almighty God. Let me show you something, another wow, and we'll move on to our E and our R here. But as I studied this out, I just could, you could go on and on and on. And let me find here. I think it's, again, I don't like to have pauses, but some of it I like to read directly as we go. And here's one that's always, if you can think of anything in Scripture, and think about what Job said as far as the edges of what he described, and talking about the clouds and how he holds back his heaven that allows the clouds as a pillar. Let me read this to you. And the same day when the even was come, he saith unto them, let us pass over unto the other side. You know where I'm going now. And when they had sent away the multitude, they took him even as he was in the ship. And there were also with him other little ships. And there arose a great storm of wind, and the waves beat into the ship, so that it was now full. And he was in the hinder part of the ship, asleep on a pillow. And they awake him and say unto him, Master, carest thou not that we perish? See, that's us. You know, you say, what are those men? They've seen God, or at this point here, they've seen Jesus do great things. The God-man in the flesh, the Word came down in the flesh, as we see here. And but yet they still come wake him up. I mean, I put myself in their shoes, I'd have probably woke him up sooner. But they come and woke him up, said, "Don't you care that we perish?" And he arose and rebuked the wind and said unto the sea, "Peace, be still." And the wind ceased, and there was a great calm. And he said unto them, "Why are ye so fearful? How is it that ye have no faith?" Verse number 41 is what I was going to get to, and that's back to, we just can't grasp the full power of God. And this is a wow. And they feared exceedingly and said one to another, "What manner of man is this that even the wind and the sea obey him?" He just quietened the wind, quietened the storm, sea went down. As I picture that here, as you go back through it, it said, "And they came over into the other side of the seas." You go in chapter 5, verse 1. I don't know for sure, the scripture doesn't tell us, but I wonder if he went back and laid back down, went back to sleep. Left them up on the deck to think about what had happened. But again, that's another wow. You know, you've seen that in your life, but these are examples of the power of an almighty God. And again, we just can get barely a hold of that. Let's go down to E, and we're moving along now. We won't have many more left. Revelation 1:8, E's for everlasting, eternal. "I am Alpha and Omega, the beginning and the ending, saith the Lord," and I like this part, "which is, which was, and which is to come, the Almighty." And that's really all we need to say there. We know that God's reign is from everlasting to everlasting. There was not a beginning that we know of from our beginnings, Genesis 1:1, but we know God was already there, because he created the heavens and the earth. And there's no ending to God's kingdom as well. And I guess Alpha and Omega, you think about the beginning and the ending, and as he says, which was, which is, and which is to come. Last but not least is R, and that's righteousness. And if you look at the power of God and his righteousness, and there's a familiar verse to you, and then there's one other place I want to look, and we'll be finished today. If I can, I hear I said that's familiar. Now, he restoreth my soul. He leadeth me in the paths of righteousness. For what? For his name's sake. The righteousness. It's the power of God. And as you look there, of course, that's Psalm 23, which we refer to as, "The Lord is my shepherd. I shall not want," as we go through that and read that. A lot of us had to memorize that, I'm sure, in Sunday school when we were small. But never before I've looked at verse number 3. And see, I always thought about that. He leadeth me in the paths of righteousness for his name's sake. But I've just seen that too. He restoreth my soul. That takes power to do that. It's not just a one time. He restoreth my soul. Last place we'll turn to, Romans. You don't have to turn to me. I'll read and we'll be done this morning. Give you a little time to visit. And we might stay closer on pastor time today. Not be as much on Bible wait time, I guess. Romans 8, a couple places here, talking about the righteousness of God. "For what the law could not do, and that it was weak through the flesh." See, this just made a loop from where we started. In other words, Scripture followed Scripture, followed Scripture. I mean, people tried for thousands of years to try to, you know, say Christ was just an ordinary man, or try to debunk Scripture, so to speak, and say Scripture's not true. They've tried and tried and tried. But as you see, and I just thought about this, I began to read this. This goes all the way back around to where he said, for perfect. Or we go back to Romans, talking about the dynamite, the dynamo, the power that's in the gospel that Paul was ready to take to the Romans. Or back to John, when he said the Word became flesh, or was flesh. Here we see this, "For what the law could not do, and that it was weak through the flesh, God sent in his own Son in the likeness of sinful flesh. And for sin, condemned sin in the flesh, that the righteousness of the law might be fulfilled in us, who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit. For they that are after the flesh do mind the things of the flesh, but they that are after the Spirit, the things of the Spirit. For to be carnally minded is death, but to be spiritually minded is life and peace." Again, that you could say that's another wow. And when I say wow, it's just amazing. God does that for us. You think about that. Think about Joe and his song, put off the old coat and put on the new. You think about that. Who else can change the inside of a man but God? See, that's another one of those thoughts that get way up here. You know, you all have known, just like I have, you've known, I know in your life, at least one person that was saved and it changed their life completely. You could tell the next day when you met them. Well, and I've used Preacher Jack, I know, already once this morning, but I'll mention again. I remember him telling in his testimony before, and some of you knew him a lot better than I did, but if I remember this right, that he'd sit on the porch and throw beer cans at the cars on the way to church. Then after he was saved, he was down standing at the door to the beer joints preaching to them when he went in. You think about that. Changed his life. And it's changed all of our lives. But that's what that is. That's power. That's power. It's hard for us to understand. So we have to accept that by faith, as we saw in Hebrews. But I'll finish. Because the carnal mind is enmity against God, for he is not subject to the law of God, neither indeed can be. So then they that are in the flesh cannot please God. But ye are not in the flesh, but in the Spirit. If so be that the Spirit of God dwell in you, now if any man have not the Spirit of Christ, he is none of his. And if Christ be in you, the body is dead because of sin. But the Spirit is life because of righteousness. But the Spirit is life because of righteousness. So that's the power, again, of an almighty God. Perfection, omnipotent, omnipresent. Wow. Just we look and see what God has done. Everlasting to everlasting, beginning to end, Alpha and Omega. And last but not least, God is righteous.